conference championship. I mean, you know when you have a team. You know when you have enough depth and the right pieces in place to really have a chance to go for it, regardless what other teams have. And I think we're at that point now that we, you know, we've got a strong nucleus of upperclassmen. And to me, you really need upperclassmen to carry you. I don't care what team you're on. You need those upperclassmen who act as like, you know, coaches in the locker room, and with Blake Pietl and David Johnston and Tanner Carroll. I mean, just those three guys alone, being seniors, will really have a huge impact on this team. Not only are they good players, but they're good leaders, you know, and I think that's so important. And then you throw in that junior class right behind them, you know, and obviously Riley Sweeney, Alex Patan, you know, those guys are really going to add something to it. So I'm excited for the year, and I think we have a really nice group of freshmen coming in. But we don't need those guys to lead our team. They just have to complement the team now, where in the past as we needed the, you know, I remember we were out in North Dakota in the playoffs, and, you know, we won the second game, and I the best two out of three, and here we are. We've got JJ and Alex Patan on the line playing against their best players, playing against their seniors. We had freshmen playing against seniors, and we're trying to beat them. You know, it just, so we're getting to the point now, like I said, where we have those upperclassmen who are going to lead our teams, be our best players, and they'll be able to play hopefully against other teams' freshmen and really take it to them this year. So I'm just excited for the year. The schedule is good. Obviously, the conference, the WCHA conference is a very strong conference. It's very good. I think a lot of people weren't sure how it's going to be, but it's as strong as any league. It really is. And like I said, I'm really encouraged about the players we have. And I know they're excited. They're here this spring. They're working out 5 days a week. So they get here about 7:30 in the morning, Monday through Friday, and they're working out, and then they're taking a class. So what they're doing now is just getting ready for the fall. This is the base to help them get ready for next fall, so we make sure we get off to a great start. A
couple questions coming in for you, Coach. First of all, bubble players is the subject of this, and are there any of the bubble players from last year, guys that were kind of in and out of the lineup, that you expect to really make kind of a good jump into their sophomore or junior season and become more of a steady player?
Well, I'm anxious to see Tyler Heinonen. You know, Tyler Heinonen, you know, got off to a decent start. Then he went into a lull there for a while, and then he got injured, you know, and he started looking good, but he missed so much hockey. But he's a player who has potential, and that's a dangerous word, you know, potential, because, you know, if you don't reach that potential, you're just always a player with potential. So, but he has a chance, and if he gets his head on straight and does the things he's capable of doing, he'll have a chance to have, a breakout season for us. You know, any type, you know, you see those young guys, I mentioned Mike Neville, you know, and I still think guys like, you know, Chris Leiringer and Cliff Watson, two young defensemen who are freshmen, you know, they played a lot of hockey against a lot of really good players last year, and I'm just anxious to really see them take it to the next level. So there's some guys that have an opportunity to have a real breakthrough or breakout years, but we have a lot of guys. I mean, I'm anxious to see a kid like Max Vallis. You know, I don't think he's had, you know, his best hockey, but at times, you know, and then Brent Baltus is another player who, you know, he can do it. He came out of the BC Junior League as the MVP of the Interior Division. So, and he works hard. He's a good kid. He works hard. I just don't think he was strong enough physically to handle, you know, some of the older kids, you know, last year, older players last year. But he's another guy who I think, you know, he's got the hockey brain, the sense, the feel, and that's hard to teach. So he's got some things you can't teach. So I'm anxious to see him. I mean, we're going to have some depth. We're going to have some competition for some jobs, and we're going to have some real tough decisions as coaches every night. But that's a good thing.
Another question, talking a little bit about what your thoughts are, Coach, on who will be expected to be number one, number two, number three in the WCHA next year. They're mentioning, will it be again the Minnesota States and the Ferris States, along with maybe Michigan Tech?
Yeah, Minnesota State, I think, will they return a lot, and I don't think they'll lose much. So they'll be, to me, the preseason favorite. Just, you know, here we are in almost June. So, and I think they'll be my number one pick. Things aren't going to change a lot there. And the other team I like on paper and, you know, had a pretty good finish is Bowling Green. Bowling Green, we lose a couple players, but I think they'll be pretty good. And then Ferris. Ferris will, you know, they get hit a little bit, but you know, if Mott comes back in net right off the get-go, that's a good guy to have back, and you know, it's hard to beat him. So Ferris will be there again. So that's how I see things playing out, and I think we'll have a chance to compete with those teams.
The league is going to be interesting next year because Well, for us anyway, we're going to Alabama-Huntsville for the first time.
Yeah.
That'll be the first time Michigan Tech has made that trip, I believe, right, Wes? And,
right.
Do we still know how we're getting there, Coach? Are we flying? Are we busing? Do we know what's going on?
Well, with all the cancellations up here lately with flights, I mean, I just talked to one of our guys who was trying to get out yesterday out of here, and he didn't get out either on the 6 or the 1:30. So I have a feeling that we'll jump on that bus around Thanksgiving time. It's a lot easier to travel and whatnot. And we don't have school that week, so there's no rush. We can maybe leave a day early and work our way down there and make sure we're ready to play. So I have a feeling we'll bus down there.
And you get a weekend off after.
Yeah, we don't play back. We don't play the weekend off. So it's I figure it's maybe 16 hours total. But when we went out to Omaha, I think that's a good 12 hours. So not a lot different. And these players are so used to being junior hockey and jumping on the bus and traveling all the time anyway. And so to me, it's no big issue. And as long as we get there, we'll be ready to play.
One more question in, Coach, asking about the assistant coach position and asking, did you or do you have pretty much an idea exactly what you're looking for? Have you been waiting for just to see what candidates bring to the table and then decide from there?
That's a good question. And, we're looking for a number of things. In college hockey, as an assistant coach, you have to wear a lot of different hats. First and foremost is recruiting. That's your lifeline there, and you have to be a good recruiter. You have to be able to enjoy going on the road. You have to be able to evaluate talent, and maybe not in a lot of opportunities to see a player. And you have to be able to sell your school and what you have, and sell yourself and your program. So that's first and foremost, I think, in recruiting. Then the other aspect of that, obviously, is the coaching. You know, you have to be someone who is a good go-between the head coach and the players, and be able to, you know, teach and coach those players up. And, you know, that's the second part of it. But so much more than that. I mean, you know, our assistant coach will probably handle the academic. The new assistant coach handle the academics also. So you have to have a feel for that and be able to work with our players and be a liaison between, you know, the hockey team, obviously, and the academic portion of it. But you have to be good in the community. You have to enjoy getting out in this community. It's such a good hockey community, and people like to see us. So we want someone who enjoys, you know, getting out and getting involved with people. So, but we've had some excellent candidates, some really good hockey people. You know, like I said, I want one of everything. So, but I mean,
do you look for a yin and a yang between your assistant coaches?
Well, a little bit. They both can't. I think you can't have, you know, can't both be the same.
Right.
But they also have to be, you know, be able to really get along. I think, you know, when I was at Michigan, myself and Coach Powers, we shared an office for, you know, 20 years, you know, tight space. And you really have to, I think, work well with the other assistant. And that's important, the two assistants, because there's going to be times when they both see a player and one assistant is really going to like a player and the other assistant's going to be, oh, I'm not sure. And at that point, they have to understand we're going to make the final decision, what's best for the program. And it's not that you're trying to pick one guy's opinion over the other, you know. So you have to make sure you get guys who can handle that and whatnot. But we need someone who's going to bring some new ideas also. You know, Billy and I both have a history of being from Michigan and some way things were done there, and we both have some different philosophies and ideas from some other you know, people that we've gotten. But it's good to bring someone in with new ideas and has a fresh outlook on things and can help take us to that next level. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for someone who's got a, you know, good personality. He's not afraid to you know, give us ideas, whether we agree or not. You have to be able to express yourself, and whether you like things or don't like things, at the end of the day, obviously, I have to make the final decision. But you want someone who's going to challenge even myself as a head coach.
Being a talent scout, it seems like one of those things that either you have it or you don't, right? I mean, you have to be able to look at a game, and it could be, you know, a really great player on a really bad team, or is it an average player on a good team, and be able to pick those things out. You know, is that something that you acquire as a coach, and just watching talent and evaluating talent, or is that something that maybe some guys just have innately?
Well, some guys have that innately. I think you can learn that, obviously, learn from your mistakes, and learn. One nice thing I like to do is over the years, is maybe someone who I didn't think was a player, or for some reason, you know, didn't skate well enough. And I'll give you an example. I'm not embarrassed to say it, but when I was at the school downstate there, we were recruiting this player, and his